Insight with Bruce Dumont.
Hello, and welcome to our first in a series of programs on WNIS. We will be presenting each day, Monday through Friday at this time. I'm your host, Bruce Dumont, and each day on Insight, we'll take you behind the headlines to meet the personalities that shape the news. And today, we are very pleased to present as our inaugural guest, the former governor of the state of Illinois, the Honorable Richard B. Ogilvie. Since leaving office in January of 1973, Mr. Ogilvie has been in private law practiced in Chicago and recently was selected to head President Ford's 1976 campaign in the state. Governor, it's nice to have you with us on our first program.
Bruce, it's nice to be here. It's good to see you again after all these long months.
It's been several months. A couple of weeks ago, Mayor Daley, in an impassioned plea before the General Assembly, alluded to you and called you a courageous governor because you had the guts to father the state income tax, which was needed at that particular time. And when he said that, the house almost came down. When you heard about that, what was your reaction?
I was startled. I was in a meeting out of my office, and my secretary called and said, "I'm not sure what's going on, but we have been besieged by telephone calls from newsmen." And so I then found out what had happened. It was obviously very pleasing to have the mayor say those nice things, and of course, I was quite elated at the reception that his remarks received.
Now, since leaving office, when you have gone to Republican fundraising gatherings, there has been that type of response. Dick Ogilvie within the Republican Party is still a very popular man. Does that, when you hear that applause, hear that type of a response, does it make you want to get back into it again?
Well, I've never really gotten out of it, Bruce. If you mean get back in terms of running for office, I would have to say that at least up to this point, it has not persuaded me to forsake what I have been doing. But it's very gratifying, and I think that as time goes by, people tend to forget some of the things that were not quite so pleasant about my administration. You mentioned the income tax, and clearly that was something that posed a problem in that 1972 campaign. I think, on the other hand, as time has gone by, the importance of what we did and the absolute necessity of additional revenues has become apparent. And also, I think that in that campaign, you may recall that my opponent was criticizing me for being the high-tax governor and criticizing me for spending enormous amounts of money. And, of course, each of his budgets has been substantially higher than the last one that I was responsible for.
As you look back on that campaign, do you feel that at any time along the way you underestimated Dan Walker?
No, and I'll tell you why I didn't. We did some polling in late 1969, which was after the income tax had passed in the Illinois General Assembly. And my approval rating, which had been rather satisfactory after I was first elected, plummeted down to about a 30% level. And you may recall that when early in the 72 campaign, in fact, even before the determination had been made in the Democratic primary as to who it was going to be, I think the Sun-Times ran some polls. And I was running way behind either Paul Simon or Dan Walker. So I knew we had a very, very difficult campaign. And we worked hard at it. I thought that we had caught him. And in fact, as you recall, we lost by a very, very small margin, way less than one percentage point, and as I remember, something like 73,000 votes. And in a state of
when you lose that close, is there a great deal of bitterness? Were there a lot of sleepless nights after the votes came in saying, "Boy, I wish I would have done this," or "spent a little more money here," or perhaps said this at this particular speech?
Not really. I always sleep very well. I hope that means I have a clear conscience. My disappointment wasn't a personal one at all. My disappointment was that programs that we had initiated and people that I had brought into my state government were not now going to be able to not just necessarily conclude work that they'd started, but really see it take hold. And I thought we had brought together a tremendously talented group of people, almost all of whom left shortly after I left office.
Richard B. Ogilvie is our guest today on Insight. I'm Bruce Dumont, and we'll be back in a minute. Continuing on Insight with our guest today, the former governor of the state of Illinois, the Honorable Richard B. Ogilvie. Mr. Ogilvie, recently the county grand jury, in criticizing the Chicago Police Department, mentioned that there was awareness by police intelligence concerning the Days of Rage in October several years ago. During that period, you were the governor of the state of Illinois, and you called out the National Guard. Mm-hmm. Did your intelligence sources have any indication that there was going to be the problem that turned out to be on the north side?
No, we didn't have, as a part of any of our state agencies, an intelligence gathering operation. If I remember that situation correctly, I received a call from Mayor Daley asking for state assistance, and as I did on a number of occasions, without any hesitation, we were deeply concerned about the safety of the people in Chicago and also the protection of property. We had worked out, I thought, a very effective way of making whatever force was necessary available, and we did it. But we did not have, and we were not tracking either in terms of local government intelligence or anything the federal government had, what was happening.
Recently, you have been named head of the president's campaign in 1976. Later this week, Ronald Reagan is scheduled to announce that he will become a candidate for the same office. How do you plot a campaign against Ronald Reagan in a state where, at least in certain areas of the state, Ronald Reagan is very popular?
Well, the whole campaign has obviously undergone quite a switch. When I was first invited to head the president's campaign here in Illinois, we were looking at it principally in terms of getting a maximum number of delegates from Illinois committed and then elected to the Republican convention. Now, if in fact he does proceed with an announcement, on the 20th, I believe, is the date that I've heard, that would indicate to me that he is both going to make a fight for delegates in Illinois, and he's also probably going to get into the preferential primary. This means that what was not a highly complicated campaign now takes on, much more serious overtones. We we're now in the process of recasting a budget, which we will need to maintain that kind of a campaign. I'm very optimistic as to how the president will fare in Illinois. I think that we will get virtually all of the delegates, and on the basis of a straw poll that we took last Saturday at a Cook County Republican meeting, and it was one that, frankly, I didn't know how it was going to come out, but we gave everybody there a ballot and said, vote for Ford, Reagan, or whoever you wished. And of some almost 500 people, the president got about 69% of the votes cast as between he and Governor Reagan. I think that's a very substantial margin and should ensure that we get the delegates and also win that primary.
In accepting that post, was there any discussion as to conceivably what might happen to Richard Ogilvie if Gerald Ford is reelected? There are a number of major cabinet positions that Richard Ogilvie would be qualified for. Would you like to be a member of the cabinet or perhaps a candidate for vice president?
Well, the answer is no. We did not discuss that. And let me recall that right after I left the governor's office, I had at least a half a dozen invitations to accept major federal appointments. But I had concluded that having spent 10 years in public an elected public office, and even more in years in terms of my service in the Justice Department and earlier in the U.S. Army, that it was about time that I directed my attention to my own and my family's well-being. So,
what about a quote attributed to you last week that you might take on Adlai Stevenson in 1980?
Well, the way I've answered the question about my political affairs is I wasn't a candidate in 72. I am not a candidate in 74. I'm not going to be a candidate in 76. And somebody said, well, what about 1980? And I said, well, thinking the only office that's that I would be interested in that would be up at that time would be the United States Senate. And I said I'd take a look at it. But believe me, that is not a commitment either in my own mind or to any of my friends that I'm necessarily going to be a candidate even then.
Well, one of the reasons why that question is asked is because you were one of the most successful Republican politicians in Illinois history. And when a political bug bites, it's difficult to get that bug out of your system.
I won't argue that point. I have never lost my interest in public affairs and in the activities of the Republican Party, which has been such an important part of my life.
We have about 30 seconds left. When you were campaigning on the stump, whether it be for sheriff, Cook County Board, or governor, what was the one type of question that you absolutely hated to have asked?
Bruce, in all honesty, I can't recall one. I've been asked every kind of question by every expert in this state. I can't recall.
Governor Richard B. Ogilvie has been our guest today, former governor of the state of Illinois, who is currently head of President Ford's 1976 campaign in this state. And, Governor, we thank you very much for joining us on our first program.
Thank you, Bruce.
Well, that's our first insight. I thank you very much for joining us on WNIS. I'm Bruce Dumont. Tomorrow on our program, our guest is going to be Victor Marchetti, former 14-year veteran of the Central Intelligence Agency. See you then.
Insight with Bruce Dumont is presented through the facilities of WNIS-FM. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of NBC News or WNIS.